of your own flag. And it's the flag of the United States of America. It isn't the United States flag as they have established it. But you'll notice what crooked little SOBs they are. They'll hang a proper flag of the United States of America outside their building in a hidden place, you know, like in a parking lot in Fresno. And then they stick these gold fringe standards up there. Well, that judge is already breaking his own rule. He's supposed to take that in and out of that courtroom. He establishes his court when he brings in his flag and sets it in the standard. Well, see, they're lazy. They don't really want to do that, go to all that bother. So it becomes just habit. And it also becomes habit. Off with your head, off with your head. It's something like Alice in that wonderland, or dawdling over the rainbow somewhere. And I believe that this judge in point in Fresno is probably afraid he's going to be caught up in something before he can effect his retirement. Yes.
Well, the person word comes from the Latin persona, which means mask. So when you're behind a mask, you can hide your identity. In other words, it's not you.
Thank you. You see, these are the things that you're going to learn. What do words actually mean? And then you have to be careful, you see, where are you going to get these books, for instance? Well, Richard MacDonald, early on, as a matter of fact, we, people here, gave him a set of books that are absolutely priceless to this now. He had been into common law, been into sovereignizing people, but you see, to make it effective, everybody had to give up their driver's license, and they had to do this, and they had to do that, and wear tags on their car, and fight the system. Why should you have to fight the system when you live within the system? And there's some good rules and regulations about driving. You shouldn't go 95 miles an hour on a mountain road. It's stupid. You're going to get hurt. There's a lot to be said for seatbelts. Am I in favor of laws that make you hook up your seatbelt? For goodness sakes, you should be pleased to have them. You might live. And our little Christmas miracles, if they hadn't been in seatbelts, all three would have been dead. So just for your freedom, you have a right to not wear them, I suppose. But if you fight this sort of thing that is reasonable, logical, then what are you doing? You're neglecting the very order of a society that allows you to have many, many, many people and still prosper. Supposing you had no driving regulations. Well, I feel like driving on the, let's see, I'm going to go directly ahead on the left side of the street. I am a sovereign citizen. Well, you have to think what you're saying. And no, I'm not in favor of all the laws. You shouldn't have to have them. But obviously everybody's not as sane as you are. Well, that's what we're about. We're about doing things. I've told you all along, it's a very physical mission. And ones want me to go back to flapping angel wings and sending stardust and making revelations. There's nothing new. So your revelations are BS. You just want to hear something new that lets you off the hook so that you don't have to be responsible. And henceforth, everybody is going to have to be responsible. And you're in the nucleus of that which is change So you have to be a little bit more aggressive. And we've gone along here showing people how to shelter themselves. And I don't care where you go in the entire world, it is no better than Nevada corporate headquarters right in Nevada. But you have to keep your eyes open there, don't you? Because the government and the way it works, they don't check everything. They're not going to check things until somebody calls their attention to something. If somebody calls in and says, I'm Mary Doe, and I'm now going to be the agent for XYZ corporations, what are they going to do? You send them the proper paperwork, you're going to become the agent. So you have to pay attention to your own business, or somebody else will steal it from you. The most typical picture that I can give you to paint exactly what happened with Betty Tootin. Only it happened with her twice. It wasn't enough to do it once. They did it again. That's deliberate. She could have gotten away with that first one. But you can't get away with deliberately doing it twice and making yourself agent. This is just foolish. And those attorneys that precipitated this should be drawn and quartered. But you see, they will protect themselves, and it'll be somebody as foolish and naive as a Betty Tootin that pays so dearly for that kind of legal pushing and manipulation. You have to keep your eyes open. I'm going to repeat the story of the bonus contract because you need to hear it. Because people say, well, it couldn't be that big. And I don't remember anything about Bush's Superfund. What do you know about Bush other than what we've written, which ought to be more than 99% of the people in the world? No. George Herbert Walker Bush, closely attached to the Harriman family, a full-fledged Skull and Bones member of the Black Society at Yale. What do we know about this man? Then what about his buddies, his cronies? What about Mr. Ford, the president? He was one of the top pornography dealers in the United States. And how is Paula Jones going to identify Bill Clinton? Why don't you ask Kathy O'Brien what is tattooed on that man's penis? Now, which one wants that task of asking Kathy? Now, isn't this a sick world?
Yep.
But he better be using some laser treatment, because, man, that's coming right up. And while they're doing whatever on his knees, they better be cleaning him up everywhere else, because he's got tattoos in very ridiculous places.
Is that clone, too?
We're going to do a whole series on clones.
With that too?
Yes.
Well, you can see the tattoo in monetization, right?
Are you asking me? Moi? Well, let's say it sticks out like a sore thumb. And he is really concerned about it. And part of his little stay in Bethesda, unfortunately, it takes months for a laser scar to go away. So you've only replaced art for white streaks, you know. But back to the bonus certificate. You see, a lot of these old Peruvian gold certificates were around. And this one was no different. It had a typical number. It had a typical everything about it, almost valueless. But you see, the elite never leave it well enough alone. So when this was discovered, aha, if we turn this into a bona fide bonus contract and we set a value on it, who's going to argue? I mean, after all, you've got Benson and Baker III and Bush, Ollie North. You got all your buddies in there. Benson, the treasurer. Who's going to stop you? And you've got Russell Herman, right out of intelligence, just like Oliver North and the rest. So they all set about, how are we going to utilize this? Well, first thing they did, Russell Herman and VK, was to form Cosmos Seafood Energy Marketing Incorporated. I mean, who in the world would ever try to copy such a stupid name? George Bush, yes. But he didn't need to even copy the name, you see. Anyway, they secure this bonus contract in that corporation. Well, then they start dealing arms in Iran after having made a commitment. The reason for this was to secure the United States citizens, because the debt was getting outrageous. It would be lodged with the Treasury Department, and it would clean up the debt, and it would clean up, it would give money for the United States to function and get balanced again. Well, that wasn't going to be too great with the Federal Reserve, was it? So you've got the Federal Reserve system when 1913, and believe me, it was back way back then, at the turn of the century, that you actually went into what you can call martial law. But it's also what's going to save your ass, because they've overdone it, you see. They can't say you're at war, because that doesn't sell good. So, I mean, this is the longest peace you've ever had with the most wars. We just don't declare them. Well, we can keep control of the government under martial law. We won't call it martial law, but we'll call it executive powers. We'll have an emergency. But let's see. To do some of these things, we've got to have international emergency. We've got to have real bad problems. So you're going to continue to have Bosnia's problems coming on back, because, you see, before George Bush got out of there, he had already extended Bosnia as the cause of your international emergency. And now Clinton's just continued. So you've got to have trouble in Bosnia, because that's the basis of your emergency. And then, of course, you declare, and this is how silly it's gotten. You don't have any declared wars around, and you haven't for a long, long time, because to declare a war, you have to have an act of Congress. As a matter of fact, Clinton could pronounce we're at war. But when you really are caught in the war, it requires this act of Congress. Unless you're under emergency powers. So they did something way, way back when, and they called it the Emergency Powers War, War Powers Act. Well, when you go into court now and you say, well, you, that military flag up there, sir, doesn't mean anything. We're not at war. And you watch them try to figure out where your war is. Even to the sneaky SOBs will tell you war on drugs. Anytime they pronounce we're going to have a war on drugs or a war on poverty, it goes down as a war declared in your federal registry. And as silly as it may seem, who's going to argue with the judge? Who's going to argue with the Supreme Court? Well, you're going to argue with the Supreme Court. That's who. Only you don't argue. Because you're very apt to make a mistake if you argue. You do your paperwork so superbly well that there's no argument. They've trained you to be intimidated, and rightfully so. So back to Cosmos Seafood Energy. They came, Bush, I mean, there's no end to their greed. And they wanted the control of that contract. And Russell Herman had control of it. And he says, oops, there's something really wrong here. What do you want it for? Things are just fine. I thought you were going to use it for this. Well, we need it for the Contras, and we need it for this, and we need it for that. And quite frankly, he needed it to buy oil wells, gold mines.
Adam needed $30 million.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
For a little agriculture project.
We could use that too.
I thought so too, Rick. Bush doesn't like it because we want to borrow it either. So, Mr. Herman says, kiss my. You're not going to get this. You lied. You said that there would be no arms bought with this, that this was for the United States citizens. And I'm sure that you have to understand there was a whole lot more to it than that. And they just finally, you know, quit fiddling with him, went to Del Papa, who was Secretary of State at the time in Nevada, and worked a deal. And they said, there's something really wrong with the paperwork here, Susie. You know, I'm Georgie Bush, and you know me, and I want this straightened out. So the next time that it was noticed in all of this, remember some of you hovering around the radio while you're listening to Cosmos? Oh, yeah. And they're going to have money up the gazoo for everybody who wants to turn in a farm deal or you've ever been screwed or whatever is wrong. We are going to pay you. Just enter your claims. Nicola was his name. And remember our friend John Quaid? There are quite a few people completely to their ears involved in that. And yet it never paid off. Well, it went to hell in a handbasket. Mr. Bush lost his super fund. He had gone all over the world and he had spent billions of dollars, and banks folded because of it. They would come out and it'd be like a billion point two, 2.4 billion in the hole. And they'd blame some little traitor somewhere. Well, what happened was that Russell and VK were able to recapture their corporation. So hold that, you corporate people, in your heart. They could go back and prove they had Cosmos Seafood Energy Marketing. And for goodness sake, I think that court has it now. I believe that court is the agent. They took, then, that certificate, and they took it right back to the president of Peru and got it reconfirmed and reconfirmed, revalidated. They pulled it out of the bonus certificate category and moved it into a contract. Then Russell took it to Los Angeles, I believe, to the Federal Reserve Bank. And he had several people connected with it with him, and they went down and had it valued. Well, they would only value it at such and such a limited amount because, you see, Bush wanted that contract, and the Federal Reserve said, well, we will only value it at this. And yet Bush had it valued so you couldn't even get it on the computer. And so Russell said, no, I believe I liked it the way Bush had it. Seems like an unlimited amount is so much better. Well, they immediately started trying to get Russell to sign off on this because after they got it revalidated, they took it public. Go down there with your instruments. File them with the clerk, people. That makes it so that nobody can come in. They can try, and they will try and try and try again. But it's impossible once these things become a part of too many records. And you see, this one had made it all the way to the Treasury Department. And this one made it to the Treasury Department to the point that the Treasury Department met with some of our people and offered, what was it, $500 million to make this thing go away, please. Well, that sounds like a lot of money to me today. But it wouldn't have gone away, would it? And do you think that they would have paid you out of a broke treasury? Absolutely not. So that's not the way to go with it. But boy, there were a lot of phone calls back and forth from treasury people after that. And now that thing is all over the world because we sent it all over the world. It was lodged with the International Monetary Fund. And I know that some just cringe. You didn't do that. We did. Listen, Rick did it. You heard him giggle. The Federal Reserve got so mad in San Francisco, they sent it back and said, and if you send this thing again, we're going to throw it in the trash. Big deal, big boy. You just go right ahead and do that. Because it's now registered. Sent it to the World Bank. We even sent it to the Sultan of Brunei, who's the richest man in the world. Or was, until George Bush got hold of him. So it's no secret. So let's quit playing the secret game. This is what gets you killed. I don't mean go tell all your private business. I'm talking about your secrets. The only thing that will protect Dave Miller and Peter Kawaja and Doris Ecker are to get publicity. And then if they're in jail or they're missing, is noticed. It's noticed. So we're going to give them all the help we can. And we're going to open up the inroads around this globe where we have people willing. And there's some, I mean, don't kid yourself. Some of the ones that are really interested in this are not even fringe, religious, or political. They're just plain old businessmen. And some of them are the worst in the world. They'll kill members of their own family, like the Rothschilds. Where do the Rothschilds actually come from? Where do the Oppenheimer family stem from? What about the De Beers cartel? Well, there's quite a lot of playing going on amongst these people. And they know how to do it. They know how to do it without destroying the United States of America by entering this in the Treasury or lodging it with the Treasury Department. They use it exactly like George Bush used it, as value. Well, can't they use it then without including us? Yeah, but it certainly doesn't, it's not very comfortable. Let's put it that way. When I say I'm who I say I am, I'm very disagreeable from time to time because we are not greedy. We're not trying to buy a world. We're trying to change a world. And once VK and Russell had recaptured Cosmos Seafood Energy, they pulled it out of there so that the corporation itself would not hold that certificate as value in it anymore, and did some other things, and now I think she's working on some trusts and things. But we'll just leave that there, because if you know that something has gone wrong, you can do something about it. On the other hand, they murdered Russell, didn't they? So you have to balance off what the values are. Do you just march out there with your flag or whatever you've got just to get slain? That's foolish. We don't need any more martyrs. But I certainly honor Russell Herman for what he did. And for whatever reason he did it. It was not as simple as patriotism, and you know it isn't. And they had already done to him what would kill him. They had radiated him. He was going to die. Well, he made a choice. You know, basically it was one of these nice things. Well, we'll kill you in a hurry so it doesn't hurt so long. That sort of a deal. Well, what kind of a deal is that? But that's what this certificate is all about. It is a bonus certificate that literally around the globe became a super fund without limit, and they used it, and now it's going to get used some more. When does the G7 group meet? It's coming up right away too, isn't it? Well, it's being considered there. So there are a lot of things taking place. And it just demands 24 hours a day as fast as we can pedal. So if it appears that things are not getting done, you're going to have to bear with us. We can only do so much. And meanwhile, please take these bits of information and get it organized and let us be ready to flow. I'd really, Ron and Paul are coming over when, in April? Somebody.
First week or two.
I think we should try.
Yeah.
I think we should try to see if we can get Dave and Mullins, and frankly, I'd like VK.
When does Mullins go to Japan? Nobody knows.
Okay. Somebody please check it. Are there any announcements? Any revelations?
Oh, I heard on the radio just before the meeting, Japan had a 5.6 that was felt at 185-mile radius from the epicenter. Anyway, that's not much of a revelation, but that's my 2 cents.
That's a 2 cent revelation.
Social announcement. Next week, the 23rd, in this very room, you're all invited at the same time, 1:30, to a wedding. Valerie and I are getting married.
Just had to do it, didn't you? Anybody else?
This is just a little news article out of the final call paper, the Farrakhan's last issue. Nelson Mandela has come out with a broad statement to his people about supporting regional governments in the world and strengthening the regional governments, especially India and Africa. And it ties in so closely with the New World Order and the regional setup that they've been working on that I thought it was important, you know.
Thank you. That is extremely important. Mandela is a very, very dangerous man. Well, we do have these Farrakhan tapes that were shared with us from, I believe they called it the Savior's Day in February, and we had enjoyed some of his lectures in the past so much that nobody here has played them because the envelope was only ripped open this morning and found that the quality is so faint at times that you really can't hear it. So they've got to be re-recorded because we're going to hear them. If it takes us all month to get them audibly suitable, we'll have to do it. You've got to know what kind of pressures these people are under. You don't get it out of your establishment paper. You are having race riots in all of your major cities and you don't even know it. They're not publicizing this. Things are really, really bad and getting worse between the blacks and the whites. And that's why they continue to hound an O.J. Simpson situation into the ground, really, is to continue to build and build and build this racial strife. And yet when all of the human beings at your level of existence, when you all come into some understanding, then you'll be able to see why you can march along together in spite of race or color, certainly. Creed is a little different because a creed is that which by which a man lives. You can have the Boy Scout creed or the Indian war dance creed or whatever you want. But the creed is that belief system by which man functions. So creed, you'll hear ones time after time after time. We've got to put aside race and color and creed. Well, I agree, you're going to have to put all of it aside. But creed is different. That is the foundation upon which a man will make his choices. You will hear out of Islam. Let us say Farrakhan may be up. He is very, very, very devoted to Elijah Muhammad and really treats him as the Messiah, and I mean thee. Is the man truly a Messiah? Of course he is. It's just like you are an angel. Messiah means messenger. In this instance, messenger of God, a ton of light. Mr. Farrakhan doesn't have any trouble with Aton at all. So let's begin to put truth where it belongs out front and quit being ashamed or too, well, I don't know if I dare say that. Well, if I ask EJ his name, he may or may not answer me, depending on the set of circumstances. But a name is something that is used for identification. Now, is this man, this Elijah? And remember, God will always send his Elijah. Well, for goodness sake, so am I going to just spout off this invisible mouth and and somehow break it on you that, oh my goodness, God must be dark or black or brown, at least of the colored races? No, that's not what I'm telling you. So get it straight. God is light. That means God is all colors. And will, at the very whim of a moment, burst into a rainbow or all sorts of other ridiculous things. So stop limiting yourself to what you've been told. Now, are we going to put this man, this Elijah Muhammad, up at a level of Jesus Christ? Well, we can do that easily. Because Jesus was not called Jesus, was he? Until years after he had left the Holy Land, Paul named him Jesus. Because he was traveling in Greece, and Yeshus meant the anointed one. It isn't even pronounced the same over here. And one of your most insipid drug dealers, and probably all of you know what I'm going to say, this insipid drug dealer from down south, his name is Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. So stop clinging to your little physical almost realities. This is not the reality of you. You do not dwell on this planet. You dwell, and you are an extraterrestrial. You have no roots on this planet. None of you. That doesn't mean you're an ET from the third galaxy. It means you have a soul, which is essence, which is not rooted in anything physical. And until you understand the difference, you're not going to be able to make a reasonably good transition. And you cannot blame your failures or your salvation on somebody that got murdered 2,000 years ago. Who said he took the sins of the world upon him? It was the sins of the world that killed him. And 14 Roman soldiers to hold him down while they nailed him to the cross. Now, I think that stinks. And then you pronounce that he's got to carry the guilt of everything that you have thought, everything that you have done. At this moment on this earth, over 7 billion people, he's got to shoulder all the mistakes. Come on, that's stupid. Grow up. There's a time for Easter bunnies and Santa Claus. And there's a time to take responsibility for your own souls. So let's get with it. I am not putting down any doctrines. They are as good as any myth that ever could have come along. But if you base your existence past this physical moment, you're going to head off in the wrong direction because it's foisted off on you, do you see? And it does not in any way lessen the man. I feel this way about a Holocaust that is unreal. Does it mean just because it couldn't have been the way they tell you that it was not bad? Of course not. But are they going to tell you that the Pope that you've got right now of the Holy Roman Church sold the gas to the Germans? How many times do they tell you that? There are more Jewish people taking reparations and restitution from the Germans for the concentration camp and the deaths than there were Jewish people in Europe at the time of the war. So something stinks. And I did not say there was no bad time. And I never said that Hitler was a wonderful god of some kind of benevolent creature. But the Holocaust did not, could not have happened like they've told you. And how do you know I tell you truth? Because they will lie to you and they will show Schindler's List, for goodness sakes, without even a commercial interruption. The whole thing is a commercial. Schindler did exactly what a good commercial Jewish merchant would do. He worked out a very, very good working deal. He had one of the most important concentration camps in his area. He could hire prison labor. So let's look at it for the gift it is, but for the reality of the truth in it. Let's not lessen the wrongful death of one sold energy by lying about all the rest. If there was one, it's too many. Am I going to tell you there was no Mengele? Of course not, because there was. But you... Somebody in this room tell me, is it all right for children to find boxes of fetuses in a wooded area? 30 of them yesterday in the good old United States of America? We have to look at what is. And then we have to realize that we can change it. And yet I'm afraid that there is a realization that mankind does not really want to accept. And that is that you will never have perfection in a physical place. Because any time that you have free will, choice, of any energy, any entity, any logical thinking personality, there will be confusion, there will be errors, mistakes, there will always be the physical ego, and it always goes to top dog. It's a very natural thing if you're dealing with the animal kingdom, the wild animal kingdom. Of your own flag. And it's the flag of the United States of America. It isn't the United States flag as they have established it. But you'll notice what crooked little SOBs they are. They'll hang a proper flag of the United States of America outside their building in a hidden place, you know, like in a parking lot in Fresno. And then they stick these gold fringe standards up there. Well, that judge is already breaking his own rule. He's supposed to take that in and out of that courtroom. He establishes his court when he brings in his flag and sets it in the standard. Well, see, they're lazy. They don't really want to do that, go to all that bother. So it becomes just habit. And it also becomes habit. Off with your head, off with your head. It's something like Alice in that wonderland, or dawdling over the rainbow somewhere. And I believe that this judge in point in Fresno is probably afraid he's going to be caught up in something before he can effect his retirement. Yes.
Well, if a person comes from the Latin persona, which means mask. So when you're behind a mask, you can hide the identity. In other words, it's not you.
Thank you. You see, these are the things that you're going to learn. What do words actually mean? And then you have to be careful, you see, where are you going to get these books, for instance? Well, Richard MacDonald, early on, as a matter of fact, we, people here, gave him a set of books that are absolutely priceless to this now. He had been into common law, been into sovereignizing people, but you see, to make it effective, everybody had to give up their driver's license, and they had to do this, and they had to do that, and wear tags on their car, and fight the system. Why should you have to fight the system when you live within the system? And there's some good rules and regulations about driving. You shouldn't go 95 miles an hour on a mountain road. It's stupid. You're going to get hurt. There's a lot to be said for seatbelts. Am I in favor of laws that make you hook up your seatbelt? For goodness sakes, you should be pleased to have them. You might live. And our little Christmas miracles, if they hadn't been in seatbelts, all three would have been dead. So just for your freedom, you have a right to not wear them, I suppose. But if you fight this sort of thing that is reasonable, logical, then what are you doing? You're neglecting the very order of a society that allows you to have many, many, many people and still prosper. Supposing you had no driving regulations. Well, I feel like driving on the, let's see, I'm going to go directly ahead on the left side of the street. I am a sovereign citizen. Well, you have to think what you're saying. And no, I'm not in favor of all the laws. You shouldn't have to have them. But obviously everybody's not as sane as you are. Well, that's what we're about. We're about doing things. I've told you all along, it's a very physical mission. And ones want me to go back to flapping angel wings and sending stardust and making revelations. There's nothing new. So your revelations are BS. You just want to hear something new that lets you off the hook so that you don't have to be responsible. And henceforth, everybody is going to have to be responsible. And you're in the nucleus of that which is change, so you have to be a little bit more aggressive. And we've gone along here showing people how to shelter themselves, and I don't care where you go in the entire world, it is no better than Nevada corporate headquarters right in Nevada. But you have to keep your eyes open there, don't you? Because the government and the way it works, they don't check everything. They're not going to check things until somebody calls their attention to something. If somebody calls in and says, I'm Mary Doe and I'm now going to be the agent for XYZ corporations, what are they going to do? You send them the proper paperwork, you're going to become the agent. So you have to pay attention to your own business, or somebody else will steal it from you. The most typical picture that I can give you to paint exactly what happened with Betty Tootin. Only it happened with her twice. It wasn't enough to do it once. They did it again. That's deliberate. She could have gotten away with that first one. But you can't get away with deliberately doing it twice and making yourself agent. This is just foolish. And those attorneys that precipitated this should be drawn and quartered. But you see, they will protect themselves, and it'll be somebody as foolish and naive as a Betty Tootin that pays so dearly for that kind of legal pushing and manipulation. You have to keep your eyes open. I'm going to repeat the story of the bonus contract because you need to hear it. Because people say, well, it couldn't be that big. And I don't remember anything about Bush's Superfund. What do you know about Bush other than what we've written? Which ought to be more than 99% of the people in the world. No. George Herbert Walker Bush, closely attached to the Harriman family. A full-fledged Skull and Bones member of the Black Society at Yale. What do we know about this man? Then what about his buddies, his cronies? What about Mr. Ford, the president? He was one of the top pornography dealers in the United States. And how is Paula Jones going to identify Bill Clinton? Why don't you ask Kathy O'Brien what is tattooed on that man's penis? Now, which one wants that task of asking Kathy?
Well, what is it?
Now, isn't this a sick world?
Yep.
But he better be using some laser treatment because, man, that's coming right up. And while they're doing whatever on his knees, they better be cleaning him up everywhere else because he's got tattoos in very ridiculous places.
Is that clone, too?
We're going to do a whole series on clones.
With tattoos?
Yes. Are you asking me? Moi? Well, let's say it sticks out like a sore thumb. And he is really concerned about it. And part of his little stay in Bethesda, unfortunately, it takes months for a laser scar to go away. So you've only replaced art for white streaks, you know. But back to the bonus certificate. You see, a lot of these old Peruvian gold certificates were around. And this one was no different. It had a typical number. It had a typical everything about it, almost valueless. But you see, the elite never leave it well enough alone. So when this was discovered, aha, if we turn this into a bona fide bonus contract and we set a value on it, who's going to argue? I mean, after all, you've got Benson and Baker III and Bush, Ollie North. You got all your buddies in there. Benson, the treasurer. Who's going to stop you? And you've got Russell Herrmann, right out of intelligence, just like Oliver North and the rest. So they all set about, how are we going to utilize this? Well, first thing they did, Russell Herrmann and VK, was to form Cosmos Seafood Energy Marketing Incorporated. I mean, who in the world would ever try to copy such a stupid name? George Bush, yes. But he didn't need to even copy the name, you see. Anyway, they secure this bonus contract in that corporation. Well, then they start dealing arms in Iran after having made a commitment. The reason for this was to secure the United States citizens because the debt was getting outrageous. It would be lodged with the Treasury Department and it would clean up the debt and it would clean up, it would give money for the United States to function and get balanced again. Well, that wasn't going to be too great with the Federal Reserve, was it? So you've got the Federal Reserve system when 1913, and believe me, it was back way back then, at the turn of the century, that you actually went into what you can call martial law. But it's also what's going to save your ass, because they've overdone it, you see. They can't say you're at war, because that doesn't sell good. So, I mean, this is the longest peace you've ever had with the most wars. We just don't declare them. Well, we can keep control of the government under martial law. We won't call it martial law, but we'll call it executive powers. We'll have an emergency. But let's see. To do some of these things, we've got to have international emergency. We've got to have real bad problems. So you're going to continue to have Bosnia's problems coming on back because, you see, before George Bush got out of there, he had already extended Bosnia as the cause of your international emergency. And now Clinton's just continued. So you've got to have trouble in Bosnia because that's the basis of your emergency. And then, of course, you declare, and this is how silly it's gotten. You don't have any declared wars around, and you haven't for a long, long time, because to declare a war, you have to have an act of Congress. As a matter of fact, Clinton could pronounce we're at war. But when you really are caught in the war, it requires this act of Congress. Unless you're under emergency powers. So they did something way, way back when, and they called it the Emergency Powers War Powers Act. Well, when you go into court now and you say, that military flag up there, sir, doesn't mean anything. We're not at war. And you watch them try to figure out where your war is. Even to the sneaky SOBs will tell you war on drugs. Anytime they pronounce we're going to have a war on drugs or a war on poverty, it goes down as a war declared in your federal registry. And as silly as it may seem, who's going to argue with the judge? Who's going to argue with the Supreme Court? Well, you're going to argue with the Supreme Court. That's who. Only you don't argue. Because you're very apt to make a mistake if you argue. You do your paperwork so superbly well that there's no argument. They've trained you to be intimidated, and rightfully so. So back to Cosmos Seafood Energy. They came, Bush, I mean, there's no end to their greed. And they wanted the control of that contract. And Russell Herman had control of it. And he says, oops, there's something really wrong here. What do you want it for? Things are just fine. I thought you were going to use it for this. Well, we need it for the Contras, and we need it for this, and we need it for that. And quite frankly, he needed it to buy oil wells, gold mines.
Adam needed $30 million.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, he did.
For a little agriculture project.
We could use that too.
I thought so too, Rick. Bush doesn't like it because we want to borrow it either. So, Mr. Herman says, kiss my. You're not going to get this. You lied. You said that there would be no arms bought with this, that this was for the United States citizens. And I'm sure that you have to understand there was a whole lot more to it than that. And they just finally, you know, quit fiddling with him, went to Del Papa, who was Secretary of State at the time in Nevada, and worked a deal. And they said, there's something really wrong with the paperwork here, Susie. You know, I'm Georgie Bush, and you know me. And I want this straightened out. So the next time that it was noticed in all of this, remember some of you hovering around the radio while you're listening to Cosmos? Oh, yeah. And they're going to have money up the gazoo for everybody who wants to turn in a farm deal or you've ever been screwed or whatever is wrong. We are going to pay you. Just enter your claims. Nicola was his name. And remember our friend John Quaid? There are quite a few people completely to their ears involved in that. And yet it never paid off. Well, it went to hell in a handbasket. Mr. Bush lost his super fund. He had gone all over the world and he had spent billions of dollars, and banks folded because of it. They would come out and it'd be like $2.4 billion in the hole. And they'd blame some little trader somewhere. Well, what happened was that Russell and VK were able to recapture their corporation. So hold that, you corporate people, in your heart. They could go back and prove they had had Cosmos Seafood Energy Marketing. And for goodness sake, I think that Court has it now. I believe that Court is the agent. They took, then, that certificate, and they took it right back to the president of Peru and got it reconfirmed and reconfirmed, revalidated. They pulled it out of the bonus certificate category and moved it into a contract. Then Russell took it to Los Angeles, I believe, to the Federal Reserve Bank. And he had several people connected with it with him, and they went down and had it valued. Well, they would only value it at such and such a limited amount because, you see, Bush wanted that contract, and the Federal Reserve said, well, we will only value it at this. And yet Bush had it valued so you couldn't even get it on the computer. And so Russell said, no, I believe I liked it the way Bush had it. Seems like an unlimited amount is so much better. Well, they immediately started trying to get Russell to sign off on this because after they got it revalidated, they took it public. Go down there with your instruments. File them with the clerk, people. That makes it so that nobody can come in. They can try, and they will try and try and try again. that it's impossible once these things become a part of too many records. And you see, this one had made it all the way to the Treasury Department. And this one made it to the Treasury Department to the point that the Treasury Department met with some of our people and offered, what was it, $500 million to make this thing go away, please. Well, that sounds like a lot of money to me today. But it wouldn't have gone away, would it? And do you think that they would have paid you out of a broke treasury? Absolutely not. So that's not the way to go with it. But boy, there were a lot of phone calls back and forth from treasury people after that. And now that thing is all over the world because we sent it all over the world. It was lodged with the International Monetary Fund. And I know that some just cringe. You didn't do that. We did. Listen, Rick did it. You heard him giggle. The Federal Reserve got so mad in San Francisco, they sent it back and said, and if you send this thing again, we're going to throw it in the trash. Big deal, big boy. You just go right ahead and do that because it's now registered. Send it to the World Bank. We even sent it to the Sultan of Brunei, who's the richest man in the world. Or was, until George Bush got hold of him. So it's no secret. So let's quit playing the secret game. This is what gets you killed. I don't mean go tell all your private business. I'm talking about your secrets. The only thing that will protect Dave Miller and Peter Kalaja and Doris Ecker are to get publicity. And then if they're in jail or they're missing, is noticed. It's noticed. So we're going to give them all the help we can. And we're going to open up the inroads around this globe, where we have people willing. And there's some, I mean, don't kid yourself. Some of the ones that are really interested in this are not even fringe, religious, or political. They're just plain old businessmen. And some of them are the worst in the world. They'll kill members of their own family, like the Rothschilds. Where do the Rothschilds actually come from? Where do the Oppenheimer family stem from? What about the De Beers cartel? Well, there's quite a lot of playing going on amongst these people. And they know how to do it. They know how to do it without destroying the United States of America, by entering this in the Treasury or lodging it with the Treasury Department. They use it exactly like George Bush used it, as value. Well, can't they use it then without including us? Yeah, but it certainly doesn't. It's not very comfortable. Let's put it that way. When I say I'm who I say I am, I'm very disagreeable from time to time. Because we are not greedy. We're not trying to buy a world. We're trying to change a world. And once VK and Russell had recaptured Cosmos Seafood Energy, they pulled it out of there, so that the corporation itself would not hold that certificate as value in it anymore, and did some other things, and now I think she's working on some trusts and things. But we'll just leave that there, because if you know that something has gone wrong, you can do something about it. On the other hand, they murdered Russell, didn't they? So you have to balance off what the values are. Do you just march out there with your flag or whatever you've got just to get slain? That's foolish. We don't need any more martyrs. But I certainly honor Russell Herrmann for what he did. And for whatever reason he did it. It was not as simple as patriotism, and you know it isn't. And they had already done to him what would kill him. They had radiated him. He was going to die. Well, he made a choice. You know, basically it was one of these nice things, well, we'll kill you in a hurry so it doesn't hurt so long. That sort of a deal. Well, what kind of a deal is that? But that's what this certificate is all about. It is a bonus certificate that literally around the globe became a super fund without limit. And they used it. And now it's going to get used some more. When does the G7 group meet? Coming up right away too, isn't it? Well, it's being considered there. So there are a lot of things taking place. And it just demands 24 hours a day as fast as we can pedal. So if it appears that things are not getting done, you're going to have to bear with us. We can only do so much. And meanwhile, please, take these bits of information and get it organized and let us be ready to flow. I'd really, Ron and Paul are coming over when in April? Somebody.
First week or two.
I think we should try.
Yeah.
I think we should try to see if we can get Dave and Mullins and frankly, I'd like VK.
When does Mullins go to Japan? Nobody knows? Okay.
Somebody please check it. Are there any announcements? Any revelations?
I heard on the radio just before the meeting, Japan had a 5.6 that was felt at 185-mile radius from the epicenter. Anyway, that's not much of a revelation, but that's my 2 cents.
That's a 2 cent revelation.
Social announcement. Next week, the 23rd, in this very room, you're all invited at the same time, 1:30, to a wedding. Valerie and I are getting married.
Just had to do it, didn't you? Anybody else?
This is just a little news article out of the final call paper, the Farrakhan's last issue. Nelson Mandela has come out with a broad statement to his people about supporting regional governments in the world and strengthening the regional governments, especially India and Africa. And it ties in so closely with the New World Order and the regional setup that they've been working on that I thought it was important, you know.
Thank you. That is extremely important. Mandela is a very, very dangerous man. Well, we do have these Farrakhan tapes that were shared with us from, I believe they called it the Savior's Day in February, and we had enjoyed some of his lectures in the past so much that nobody here has played them because the envelope was only ripped open this morning. and found that the quality is so faint at times that you really can't hear it. So they've got to be re-recorded because we're going to hear them. If it takes us all month to get them audibly suitable, we'll have to do it. You've got to know what kind of pressures these people are under. You don't get it out of your establishment paper. You are having race riots in all of your major cities and you don't even know it. They're not publicizing this. Things are really, really bad and getting worse between the blacks and the whites. And that's why they continue to hound an O.J. Simpson situation into the ground, really, is to continue to build and build and build this racial strife. And yet when all of the human beings at your level of existence, when you all come into some understanding, then you will be able to see why you can march along together in spite of race or color, certainly. Creed is a little different because a creed is that which by which a man lives. You can have the Boy Scout creed or the Indian war dance creed or whatever you want. But the creed is that belief system by which man functions. So creed, you'll hear ones time after time after time. We've got to put aside race and color and creed. Well, I agree, you're going to have to put all of it aside. But creed is different. That is the foundation upon which a man will make his choices. You will hear out of Islam. Let us say Farrakhan may be up. He is very, very, very devoted to Elijah Muhammad and really treats him as the Messiah, and I mean thee. Is the man truly a Messiah? Of course he is. It's just like you are an angel. Messiah means messenger. In this instance, messenger of God, a ton of light. Mr. Farrakhan doesn't have any trouble with Aton at all. So let's begin to put truth where it belongs out front and quit being ashamed or too, well, I don't know if I dare say that. Well, if I ask EJ his name, he may or may not answer me, depending on the set of circumstances. But a name is something that is used for identification. Now, is this man, this Elijah? And remember, God will always send his Elijah. Well, for goodness sake, so am I going to just spout off this invisible mouth and somehow break it on you that, oh my goodness, God must be dark or black or brown, at least of the colored races? No, that's not what I'm telling you. So get it straight. God is light. That means God is all colors and will, at the very whim of a moment, burst into a rainbow or all sorts of other ridiculous things. So stop limiting yourself to what you've been told. Now, are we going to put this man, this Elijah Muhammad, up at a level of Jesus Christ? Well, we can do that easily. Because Jesus was not called Jesus, was he? Until years after he had left the Holy Land, Paul named him Jesus. Because he was traveling in Greece and Yeshus meant the anointed one. It isn't even pronounced the same over here. And one of your most insipid drug dealers, and probably all of you know what I'm going to say, this insipid drug dealer from down south, his name is Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. So stop clinging to your little physical, almost realities. This is not the reality of you. You do not dwell on this planet. You dwell, and you are an extraterrestrial. You have no roots on this planet. None of you. That doesn't mean you're an ET from the third galaxy. It means you have a soul, which is essence, which is not rooted in anything physical. And until you understand the difference, you're not going to be able to make a reasonably good transition. And you cannot blame your failures or your salvation on somebody that got murdered 2,000 years ago. Who said he took the sins of the world upon him? It was the sins of the world that killed him. And 14 Roman soldiers to hold him down while they nailed him to the cross. Now, I think that stinks. And then you pronounce that he's got to carry the guilt of everything that you have thought, everything that you have done. At this moment on this earth, over 7 billion people, he's got to shoulder all the mistakes. Come on, that's stupid. Grow up. There's a time for Easter bunnies and Santa Claus. And there's a time to take responsibility for your own souls. So let's get with it. I am not putting down any doctrines. They are as good as any myth that ever could have come along. But if you base your existence past this physical moment, you're going to head off in the wrong direction because it's foisted off on you, do you see? And it does not in any way lessen the man. I feel this way about a Holocaust that is unreal. Does it mean just because it couldn't have been the way they tell you that it was not bad? Of course not. But are they also not, are they going to tell you that the Pope that you've got right now of the Holy Roman Church sold the gas to the Germans? How many times do they tell you that? There are more Jewish people taking reparations and restitution from the Germans for the concentration camp and the deaths than there were Jewish people in Europe at the time of the war. So something stinks. And I did not say there was no bad time. And I never said that Hitler was a wonderful god of some kind of benevolent creature. But the Holocaust did not, could not have happened like they've told you. And how do you know I tell you truth? Because they will lie to you and they will show Schindler's List, for goodness sakes, without even a commercial interruption. The whole thing is a commercial. Schindler did exactly what a good commercial Jewish merchant would do. He worked out a very, very good working deal. He had one of the most important concentration camps in his area. He could hire prison labor. So let's look at it for the gift it is, but for the reality of the truth in it. Let's not lessen the wrongful death of one sold energy by lying about all the rest. If there was one, it's too many. Am I going to tell you there was no Mengele? Of course not, because there was. But somebody in this room tell me, is it all right for children to find boxes of fetuses in a wooded area? 30 of them yesterday in the good old United States of America? We have to look at what is. And then we have to realize that we can change it. And yet I'm afraid that there is a realization that mankind does not really want to accept. And that is that you will never have perfection in a physical place. Because any time that you have free will, choice, of any energy, any entity, any logical thinking personality, there will be confusion, there will be errors, mistakes, there will always be the physical ego, and it always goes to top dog. It's a very natural thing if you're dealing with the animal kingdom, the wild animal kingdom.